back to the kings, queens, and everything in between. It's another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast. I am your host, Charlotte Warren. It is a Monday. It's like 5 o'clock. Sorry, I'm like totally like the. But I'm actually super stoked to introduce my guest. I'm a big fan of comedy. I'm a big fan of Kill Tony. One of my favorite things to do is to reach out to people who have been freaking amazing on the show, because I think comedians make fantastic guests. I slid into the DMs. I was bold again and hit up someone who I found to be absolutely freaking hilarious. I'm going to just hand it right over to her. Annie, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Annie Teicher. I am a golf professional. I live here in Austin, and I recently started getting into stand-up comedy.
And you are freaking hilarious at it.
Thank you.
How long ago was it? How was the actual Kill Tony episode, like the live performance?
It was on St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, nice. You had your set on Kill Tony. Was that like the first time you'd like ever gone to like put your name in, or had you been going for several weeks?
I'd only put my name in twice. Mm-hmm. So, got very lucky.
Yeah. Nice. And then do they do it over at, what's it called? Like porch, is it like Poor Choices and stuff? And like, they've got the whole people like waiting for the names to be called and stuff.
It used to be over at Poor Choices, and then they recently changed it over to Shakespeare's next door. So
the
night I got called was the first time we were over at Shakespeare's.
Nice. And what's the moment like when you get called? Like, is it like what's the feeling like? Cause I feel like everyone's always like, you just black out. Like,
you're yes.
Just,
yeah. Yeah. 100%. Well, you don't expect your name mm-hmm. to get called. It was like 6 out of 300 people, but, they called my name. And, since it was the first night that they, were in the new building, I followed the security guy back to the mothership, and we go down the steps to go down the back alleyway. And he was like, he goes into the door and he's like, it's locked. And I just said, no. And so I ran with my shoulder into the door, opened it, very impressive. And then they take all your stuff, and at about 20 seconds, and yeah, you don't
just walk on. Yeah.
Yeah. You just, I mean, there's no turning back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Do you like walk in, you're like not even sure where to look? I always feel like I'm always like, how do you know where to look?
It's the
like
thing so is, it depends where you're going up, but mm-hmm. at the mothership in particular, the lights are completely blinding. Mm-hmm. So it feels like you're there alone.
Yeah.
But you know you're not.
Nope.
So it's very surreal. It's very surreal.
Well, you did a fantastic job. And obviously you have to choose, because you've probably been working on material since you've been starting to do stand-up comedy. You have to like pick a minute of that, probably like your best minute that will work well for that audience. How did you pick your minute? Like, what was, just for anyone who hasn't seen, like, what were some of the jokes you threw in there? And why'd you pick them? Where'd they come from?
Well, when you have a minute to work with, which is particularly tough, and nobody knows you. Mm-hmm. They don't know your angle. They don't know your personality. They don't know your style of comedy. Not to say I have one yet, but you kind of have to pick something that doesn't take too much of a setup, has enough of a build, and a good enough punch without. Usually, you get a chance to earn it when you do a longer set, mm-hmm. You don't really get that. So you can decide to, you know, do a longer story and then really put a lot of pressure on the punch. Or you can, I chose to do two. I made a joke about motherhood pyramid schemes, and then kind of segued into that being the reason that I don't want kids, and I don't want kids because they might end up like me. And then I kind of go through my incompetencies. And try to wrap it up, but you know, I thought I was gonna pass out.
You did a fantastic job, because like they were like, oh, it seems like you're like nervous. I couldn't see it from the TV screen at
really?
All. And we have I have a big TV. Like, I couldn't see it at all. Like, you did a great job. Like, I thought your interview was hilarious too.
Yeah, that was a riot.
That was good. Like, you just had the like punches and stuff. It was just like, whoa, that was very funny.
I was able to calm down for that, so that yes. was nice. I wasn't sure if I was ever gonna calm down.
Yeah,
but it did.
Yeah. And it was Sam Talent, right?
Yeah,
I feel like he's a good like, he's very good and complimentary. Like, he was like, you're doing a really good job. Like, just genuine, like, broke from the joking for a second, which yeah. I would have thought, like, that would have, like, reassured me a lot, I feel like.
Yeah, he told me to take a deep breath, and I actually really did, and it helped a lot. So sometimes you forget to do that.
Yeah, you got, or else you're not going to live if you don't breathe.
That's a fantastic point.
Exactly. And then, so, yeah, like, so then, of course, I think they made some observations about you that I thought were very funny, but I was curious, like, how accurate they are, because they're like, this is the whitest person we've ever met. You know, they asked some very funny questions that you had some very funny responses to.
You know, their thing is to zero in on something.
Yes.
So I knew something was coming my way. When I saw myself on camera, I had no idea I was that pale. And then the bits of spotlight did not help that. The white shirt did not help that. I fit in a nice little box for them. A white girl teaches golf.
It was pretty funny.
Play cornhole. Play golf.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's set up nicely for the interview questions as a stark contrast.
Yes. Yeah. And you shop at Ross? That was freaking hilarious.
Thank you. It was a fine line to thread.
It was like the perfect line. Yeah. So yeah, they asked her, what is the blackest thing about you? And she said, I shop at Ross. It was very funny. Oh my gosh. It was really good. Just a good set. I think you successfully, like, you killed Tony. Like, that's the name of the game of the show. And
I did seem to entertain him. So
yes.
I'll take it.
Yes. So I guess to kind of, like, go back to the full kind of comedy story, I always love, like, the Kill Tony recap. I watch it every month. I'll be watching it tonight. But how did you get into stand-up comedy? Because you were saying, like, it was something you were newly getting into. You know, I've talked to other comedians before who are, you know, kind of kicking off their stand-up comedy career. Maybe it's going to be something that's a hobby. Maybe it's something you moonlight as. And just the stories that people have to getting into it is just so different for everyone. What is yours? Like, what brought you to it?
Well, I mean, as weird as it is to say, I think I'm funny. Other people, more importantly, think I'm funny. You know, I've been alive long enough to kind of gather the observation for that. But I always thought, you know, there's the funny person at work. There's a funny person in the friend group. Does that translate? And I just kind of just stopped there. And then, I don't know. I just, one day I was like, why don't I do something interesting? That would be cool. Why don't I do something interesting? And so I started writing and tried to figure out how to write premises and build on them and take funny observations that I have and put them into a set. It's really hard, but you get better at it. I did a few open mics and, I was like, maybe I could do this. I expected it to go terribly and it didn't. And the first few weeks of comedy, that's a huge win.
Yeah.
For it to just not go poorly. I did open mic and then I booked my first show and that went well. And then I did Kill Tony and that went well. And now I'm just trying to keep getting out there, keep writing. I have a kind of a regular spot, at a bar on 6th Street where I go up and, get some stage time. And, I have another show on the 27th. So I'm trying to just keep going, keep getting better, and see what happens. I mean, it's very low risk. Nobody cares. Nobody actually really cares.
Yeah, no.
So just...
Yeah, you're doing something different. Like, I feel like, it's just so many people, they just go through life and they never try anything. And it's like, oh, I should totally do that or I should do that. And they never do.
Yeah.
And it's so cool, like, when people do and just, like, put their foot out there. Because it's hard to get on a stage. Like, there's a lot of nerves. There's, like... You know, it's it's hard. And just people who do and, you know, keep going, it's, I think it's just a really fantastic thing. But yeah, so some of the other shows that you're performing at, like what nights are you performing? I always like to make sure that my guests can plug anything that they might have coming up or.
Yeah. So I go up at Gnar Bar, on 6th, and because I still work like 45 hours a week, I don't usually know when I'm going to do shows. Usually Friday nights for sure. Cause that's my other day off. So usually Friday nights, certainly I'll go up, around, you know, 10:30. Then I'll go up either and like one other time a week. And then the show I have on the 27th is at 8:30 at Shakespeare's.
Nice. Nice. And if you were to, if someone were to be saying like, oh, I wish I could get into stand-up comedy, it's something I've always wanted to try, what would you tell them to do, or where would you tell them to look first? Like, would you say, you know, go put your name in the bucket for Kill Tony, or would you say go to this open mic? What would you suggest?
You know, I would say that you should write first.
Yes.
Just write as much as you can. You know, most of it's going to be terrible. That's just how it goes. You'll think something's brilliant and you wake up the next day and it's really bad. But start writing, start saying stuff out loud, even if you're alone. Just saying it out loud, you can kind of feel like this part might be dragging, this part's not going to work. And then, yeah, go do open mics, and try to find the best ones, because some of them, it's, you know, there's five people and they're just comics that are waiting to go up themselves and they're looking at their phones, and it can be, you can kind of have like a, what am I doing? Because, you know, you're not getting real feedback.
Yeah.
And the only way you can really know if anything's good is from feedback. So find the best open mics. There's a ton in Austin. You should get a pretty good sense, soon whether you, might have what it takes to keep doing it, keep getting better. And I'm not saying I don't even have that yet. And I'm most certainly not qualified to give any advice, but, that's what I would say. I think once you get on stage, think what people think stand-up comedy is versus what it really is on the successful route is these are really thought out premises. They're not just set up, punch, move to a different subject, set up, punch. Especially once you leave the open mic scene, you're not doing 3-minute sets anymore. And you have to really have material with some substance. So, you know, it's hard, but if you keep writing, and then, you know, 10% of maybe what you've written in the last couple weeks you think should make it into your set, then keep building on that and try to get like a tight 5-minute set that you can go around town and get some real feedback on. And then ideally people notice and you get scheduled spots where, you know, there'll be an audience. And then I think from there, it's a lot easier to have things that you've learned that you need to work on, or what's working, what's not, and move forward from there.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's fantastic advice. And so kind of pivot back to you're a golf professional. It came up on your Kill Tony set. That is, I feel like that's such a unique career to have in general. And, you know, you're probably like meeting a lot of just really interesting people like day in, day out. Did you ever like practice your material with people you would meet, like kind of subtly just throw a joke in here, there, and see how it land or anything like that?
Since I started writing, I find myself having sentences that relate to something we're talking about, but it feels very strange to throw a pre-written line out there in a conversation. That doesn't happen a lot, but I'm surprisingly, there's not there's not that much material from what I do at work. Maybe I'm missing something. I could very well be missing something. But it seems like the funny stuff that happens to me at work is very nuanced. It is not going to – it's not going to – if I could do country club stand-up, I would crush it. Just put me at a country club.
Do you have a joke off the top of your head that would land well at a country club?
Oh, God. It just I mean, it'd be really – it'd be really nuanced. Okay. It would this just it would bomb right here. Just
okay.
Bomb.
Yeah. All good. I was just like oh, if I get to be like first in line for a new joke, like I'll take it.
This is it's all very specific to said membership and
totally.
But I mean, there are funny things that happen, but whether they translate to stage and enough people can relate to it. That's tough.
Totally fair. Wait, so I also, of course, have to ask, just what does it mean to be a golf professional? Like, I think you covered it a little bit on your Kill Tony interview, where it's you have your home course or home club, you're an instructor, but how does that all work? Like, could we potentially be seeing you on like the PGA Women's Tour or anything like that anytime soon? Or?
No. So there are two lanes of being a golf professional. There's a playing professional or a touring professional, LPGA, PGA. The mini tours, and then you have what's called a club professional or a teaching professional, and they're part of the organization called PGA of America. They put on the PGA Championship, they put on the Ryder Cup, and that's a fraternity of sorts of people that have gone through a program to get a certification to give instruction, run tournaments, run a golf operation, and that is what I do. I'm not, not only am I not good enough to play professionally, I would lose my mind having to rely on my golf swing for an income. That would be terrifying. If I were good enough, I don't think I could give it a go, but I enjoy what I do. And it's all I've done. I don't think I could have a real job. I don't think that'd be good for me.
You have a real job.
Well,
that's a very cool job.
A desk. I don't think I could work at a desk.
I work at a desk. I wish I had like the skill. I wish I was interesting enough to do something else. Like, this is my little part-time thing, and I have fun with it. But yeah, I'm at a desk most of the time. I admire anyone who isn't.
Well, whatever you're doing at that desk, I promise you, you're better than me.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. That means a lot. I'm probably standing here looking blank faced because my golf knowledge really just like sucks. My dad loves golf. My brother loves golf. I know a lot of gentlemen, women. I know a lot of people who love golf, and I pretend I know what they're talking about anytime it ever comes up. Wait, are bogeys in bowling or golf? No, that's terrible.
It is golf.
Okay.
But I wouldn't head straight there.
Cool. I usually just smile and nod. And I usually say I'm terrible. I feel like a common thing that people do when they golf, even good people that are really good, is it's like a thing to say how bad you are at golf. Like, no one is like, I'm a good golfer.
Right.
I think that even the best golfers, like, it's just like, I've never heard anyone go around saying they're a good golfer, even when they're a really good golfer.
Yes. Because if you think you're good at golf, you will be humbled. Mm-hmm. It will happen. It will come get you. Golf will get you. Mm-hmm. As soon as you think you've got it figured out, you're going to be reminded.
Oh, absolutely.
That's how it works. So everybody knows, just keep the expectations here. They can go up here, but you don't talk about that.
Yeah.
Just keep them down here.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the 19th hole. That's the best one.
There we go.
I've spent a lot of time there.
You sound like you know about the 19th hole.
I do.
And then maybe I can coach you through a golf conversation at some point.
Ooh. Well, I'm a big fan of the 19th hole. That's a term I learned, and I feel very excited when I get to use golf terms like that.
Yeah, it's
but
exciting.
Usually I'm there the whole time, and I wait for everyone to do all the other holes. If I like when my dad goes and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
And so, as you probably saw, we're dating relationships-centric podcasts. We get a bunch of questions or just people just asking about phenomenons that are modern dating. What do you see in the dating apps and stuff like that? I feel like people, like, for women that are going through their Hinge, their Bumbles and stuff, you're going to often see men who are doing golf swings. They're on the golf course in some way, shape, or form. Maybe they've got a golf joke of sorts. how good does someone need to be at golf, man or woman, to put it on their dating app profile? And what kinds of, from the perspective of a golf professional, what is a good golf picture that is, you know, cool? Like, you know, it, this is a great thing to put on your profile. What's kind of, what seems kind of cringy to you? Is that a loaded question? Sorry.
No, I think if you've got a good looking golf swing, and that's something you will know if you play golf, you can put a video up. But if it's an ugly golf swing, I would stick with a picture. Follow through, nice background. Leave some mystery out there for her to find out once she likes you. You know what I'm saying? Because I think even a non-golfer can see a golf swing that shouldn't be broadcast, you know. But I think, you know, it's a time-consuming hobby. So if you want to let people know that you play golf, I don't think you necessarily have to be good at that, because it's kind of a just a little notification that you are going to be spending some time doing that. And it's heavy on the time commitment, so that's fair.
Yeah.
But I think, yes, if the golf swing is not good looking, I'd stick with a picture, keep it at a picture, and then have them fill in the blanks, have them assume that was probably the end of a very good swing.
Yeah. I think that's a safe assumption.
And if you need to, don't let them ever see it.
Yeah. No, that's fair. When you're like at work, do you see like do you ever see people on what seems to be like golf course dates, or just, you know, going husbands, wives going golfing, or like what are those, any like interesting things you see in those dynamics, if that's something you see?
I don't see a lot of that. The demographic at my club is older, and it's a private club. So, almost everybody is married, but there's a lot of couples that play golf together. A lot of wives that are trying to get into it because their husbands live there. You know, there's always like the cliche, like girlfriend and boyfriend at the driving range. Like, babe, was that good? Babe, look. That's hard to watch for me. But I appreciate the effort. It's a hard sport, you know. I can't be rude about that. It's a hard sport, but it's also not for everyone. And I wish I could say that more than I'm able to. Not for everyone. It's very hard. There's a lot of other stuff out there that you can do. You can find out pretty quickly if golf should or shouldn't be one of them. But I know people that are not very good. They enjoy being out there. They play very badly, but they have a good time with their friends. That's great. I mean, absolutely, go for it. But, you know, the good thing about golf is it's never, you can learn when you're 60. It's not like club softball.
Totally. Golf, probably not for everyone. It's probably not a good first date. You know, maybe, I don't know, if a Top Golf could be fun, things like that. What do you think are better date types than golf? Particularly for people who are just getting to know each other, maybe if one or the other is a golfer, they can go golfing later on. What do you think are better first dates, especially in Austin, second dates early on, that are not golfing?
You know, I know it's boring, but I feel like if your first date is an activity, you're going to leave that date being like, I don't know anything about them. Because you're doing the thing the whole time. You know, you're playing putt-ball at church, or no, like it's weird, and like whatever. And you're talking about surfacey stuff. And I think just talking, keep it short, but just a drink, maybe dinner for a first date, just so you can, you're just trying to gather intel at that point. But if you spend the whole time hitting golf balls or playing pool, you know, the end of the night can come and you've exchanged all of 15 sentences with each other. So as far as productivity goes, maybe not a good way to look at it, but I would save that for when you know each other a little better.
Totally. Totally. Do you have any favorite places, whether you ever been there for a date or anything like that or not, that you would call out or recommend? We have a big like Austin listenership, but any places off the top of your head that make good date spots?
Well, I can't tell you where to go to have a successful date. But where can you go? You know, gosh, if it's not too hot, I think Loro is fun. That's kind of fun. I don't, it doesn't, you know what? Nothing's fun unless the person is, it depends who you're with.
Yeah.
I could go to a NBA Finals game with a guy and not have a good time because he sucks. But you know, maybe like gosh,
Laura's a good choice. Laura. That's a good spot.
Yeah,
no reservations required. Is good without maybe, being crazy.
If you do have activity, maybe pickleball, because you can catch your breath and you can talk. And then you could take an extended water break.
That's true. I think pickleball is kind of a cult in a way.
It is. It's really in your face right now.
Yeah.
It's
great exercise, but
it's almost like a personality at this point.
Yeah. It's like what CrossFit was 10 years ago. Yes. Like it was CrossFit, veganism, all of those things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're on topics of first dates, what are first date questions or talking points that bring out fun, revealing answers? I always like to ask people that.
You know, I much prefer those to how long have you been in Austin?
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of just like whatever. I don't know, whatever we're talking about. Like, if I go on a date and he's like, oh, I walked here, I'd be like, what's the furthest you've ever walked in your life? And just get him thinking, see what he says, and then just go off of that. Just get away from how long have you been in Austin? What do you do? How old are you? How many brothers and sisters? Just get away. Get away from that. Find that out later.
Yeah.
You got to... you know, see if you can enjoy each other's company,
mm-hmm.
I think. And the more out of the box the questions are, immediately, the better. And I think at this point it's a breath of fresh air for anyone to not have to hear themselves say their same elevator pitch on themselves every date.
Oh, 100%. I feel like it's like I spend way too much time on TikTok because I'm chronically online as hell. But just the... how all the profiles all seem to look the same and the questions are the same, or in Austin, it's always the same talking points and always the same people. Apparently the men feel the same way. They're like, oh, like all everything just feels the same. So whatever you can do to like break the ice is always fun.
Yeah.
Break the mold. And speaking of out of left field questions, I get a lot of out of left field questions from my very fun and energetic TikTok audience / Reddit or wherever else we pull our questions from. And usually just what I like is I like when my guest helps answer the questions. Is not kissing on the first date a bad sign?
No, that's fine.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. Cause I feel like, yeah, like sometimes you bob while the other person weaves. Sometimes it just doesn't happen on a first date. I don't think it's the end all be all.
Yeah, no. And I mean, you know, most of these questions will be answered with time.
Yes.
And I understand, like, people just, how, whatever, 3 days or whatever she's waiting, or even like 20, she's going to know, whoever that is, she's going to know in 24 hours whether that guy wants to see her again.
Yeah.
And then none of that will matter.
Yeah.
And there, I don't think there's a lot of, you know, extreme opinions get viewership and they get attention, but things are not black and white. There's no playbook for everybody. And even though I don't usually lean towards the exception, I think most things just unfortunately are found out in time.
Yeah. And usually it's not that much time. Like, I think people are, like, super worried about wasting time.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, millennials just being, like, we have to Yelp everything. Like, we have to we're the Google generation. Like, there's this fear of just, like, oh, my gosh, what if I go on a bad date, like, when I could have predicted it would have been bad ahead of time. Like,
yeah.
And it's just this fear of wasting time. But it's never that much time. And usually you learn something along the way or you can make it fun. That's always been my take. But
yeah. Sometimes you stop learning, so you stop dating.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're open to sharing more, like, what your experience has been.
Oh, well, I stopped dating, like, almost exactly when I started doing comedy. And it's fantastic. It was, you know, it's exhausting. It's like a part-time job, but you're not getting paid. It ends up adding up to a lot of time. It's just been really, I think I went on one date, like, when I first started a couple months ago, and then I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, when I've taken breaks, like, it's always been a good move, like, looking back. Like, I'm just like, oh, like, I needed a break.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just doesn't suit you, and, like, you know, it's not fun for anybody if you're not excited or not having fun, and, like, people should take more breaks if they just feel they should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This might be a permanent break. I don't know what that's called.
Doing you.
Yeah. But, you know, it's, when you take a break, you just realize that you're, like, trying to restore your faith in humanity through nothing other than alone time, which doesn't make sense. Mm. So it's like I did the breaks, and I can't, you think you're going to go back to something maybe different, but I guess it gives you, like, a recharge. Mm-hmm. It gives you a recharge. I understand it.
Totally. No, absolutely. And then, yeah, so the next question's a little less black and white. So we've got more nuancey questions, which I like. I'm assuming this is a gentleman question, but he basically just wrote, date revealed that she invited her couple friends to join us on our second date where she picked the place. Date was a bar game, arcade heavy bar. She didn't reveal until we were physically there, and they arrived 10 minutes later, and we basically double dated that night. They were perfectly nice, but it wasn't ideal for something so new. My main question, though, was this a bad attempt to do something fun and bring me into her world, or a way of creating distance and indicating she's not interested? I guess you think it's more of a this or that, but
I would say that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what he thinks it is. Mm-hmm. But again, he'll know quickly.
Yeah.
But that's just, it's a good play on her part.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever done anything like that? Or, like, does it feel like kind of like a move where, you know, oh, here, I'm going to go grab my friend. Like, I've had those moves before, like, on, I don't know, maybe, like, smaller scales where it's like, oh, here, I'm just going to, like, bring my friend. And it's more of like a, you know, let's.
Yeah.
It's a safety thing.
Oh, I've definitely done that. Yeah. Not with, like, an app date, but if it's like a friend who's, like, trying to do a one-on-one thing and you've been putting it off. And then you're like, okay, I kind of gotta, let's just check this box, and just, like, you can be like, oh, my friend's gonna come, and just, they act a little clueless, and then, like, yeah, wait a good, yeah,
dim,
oh, you thought that was something else.
Yeah,
it's a smart, it's a top tier play.
Totally. No, I think there is part where I'm like, oh, you know, it's like this kind of double date thing. But I'm also like, it feels like that, where it might be, you know, having second thoughts. It's kind of like your way of making it look like a cute thing. But also it's kind of your way of.
She brought in the troops on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't.
Yeah. Especially if you're saying, like, if it was like, oh, my gosh, these, you know, people really just made the date a billion times better, we wouldn't be getting this message. It would be more of like, you know, if the intent was there, like, I think you would feel it. I think it's fair to maybe ask, like, oh, hey, like, you know, what was the deal here? But also, it's a second date. There's other fish in the sea. That's how I would see it. But
yeah.
Yeah. Now we've got some lengthier ones. Any random like dating dilemmas or trends that you've been seeing online or anything like that that's like funny, that's funny or throws you for a loop or anything like that? I feel like I'm always just like flipping through TikTok and there's like a new word or something that pops up.
Well, the last date I went on, I made the mistake of telling him, you know, what do you do in your free time? I was like, oh, I just started doing stand-up comedy. And he said, oh, are you funny? And I said, no. So, like, it's been really hard. So I didn't see him again. I've had a lot of dates that... I'm just a lot of dates where I'm just surprised by people. But as far as like trends online
or in general, like I might have worded that question awkwardly. I'm like pulling up the next like lengthy question, so I'm just
gosh, I don't know. It just seems like a disaster.
Yeah,
it just seems. I don't know what's going on, but it's not good.
Yeah, it's a mess. Do you ever notice dates like taking place as you're doing a set and like weird dynamics there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are funny.
What do you feel like you see a lot of?
The woman not talking.
Does it look like she got like dragged there in a way or?
Well, whether it less so like when I'm doing a set, because those are usually like it's like a couple that are like going out to have a good time. But like when I've overheard other dates, it's been like a guy doing a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, ha ha, so cool. And that's weird to me. But no, the people, the couples that are at a show, they're usually like together or they're very drunk.
Yeah.
So they're having a good time regardless. They could be on a bad date, but they're very drunk.
Yeah.
So,
which sometimes like those are fun to see. Like I've gone to the Bottom of the Barrel show at the Mothership, and are always fun because like the audience participation, and you see people that'll say they're on like, you know, the second date, the third. Anytime someone's like, oh, it's a third date, you hear a lot of like, ooh, it's a third date. But it's always interesting to see those dynamics. Sometimes they're both into it. Sometimes like one got dragged to it. It's just interesting.
Yeah,
it's fun.
A lot of people like don't want to sit in the hot spots to get called out, and some people like it.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. I mean,
I love it.
Being called out by a comedian, I think it's funny.
Yeah, I buy the front row seats. My sister gives me such shit for it. She's like, why do you do that? I'm like, I think it's fun.
It is fun.
I like getting I love crowd work. I, 30 female, have had 3 great dates with a guy I met over Hinge who sent a text the other day saying, hey, I know this sounds crazy, but I've been given a +1 to my friend's wedding coming up in random city next weekend. I wanted to see if you'd be interested in joining. I think we'd have fun. He gave me a few more details, the name of the couple and location of the wedding based on Instagram, the wedding website. This is a legit wedding of people he's close with. I'm not worried about that. As well as a promise that I wouldn't pay a cent. He'd drive us out to that city about 2 hours away where the wedding takes place, and a single hotel room had already been paid for. It's not a house or room share situation. He said we'd also make a fun, romantic weekend out of it beyond the wedding as well. I said I'd check with work and would get back to him in the next few days. Here's the thing. I absolutely have the weekend free. The work is not an issue, and work is not an issue. I can absolutely go. It's just a matter of whether or not I want to, and I wanted to buy a little time to figure that out. The pros of going is based on the 3 dates so far. I like him. It seems like it could be a fun wedding. If things go well, I'm sure I'd like him even more, and bold moves are sexy. The cons, it's very soon. I'm not sure how high the stakes are from his point of view. I haven't seen him truly drunk or around his friends before. And if there's any bad surprises, there's not an easy exit strategy. I also hate the idea of potentially being a random date in someone's wedding pictures, which could easily happen if this guy's looking for a fling. Also, we haven't had sex yet, so that brings a whole other issue. No issue saying no here, but we would be sharing a hotel room. I guess my question is, do I go to this wedding with him? I know it seems crazy, but I've had several friends whose relationships really launched because they made a big move for an early weekend trip with their now boyfriends. Was wondering if the same could work for me, I guess. Should I go to the wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You're gonna come back from that weekend with a lot of information.
Yes.
When you're in your 30s, like, yeah, just that you're just expediting the inevitable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
See how you do. See how 4 hours in the car with them is. See how find it, and then you know you can save yourself what you would have maybe found out on your eighth date.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just see what it is. Do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
I feel like he made the invitation sound pretty casual, too. Like, I've got a plus one. It's not like, doesn't feel like the pressure is high.
I think he presented it well.
He presented it well. I think, you know, there are ways, like, if you really wanted to give yourself the little bit of extra insurance, like, I don't know what excuse you could come up with, but, like, taking your own car or something like that. But even then, it's kind of, you've been on three dates so far, which is why I'm like, oh, you know, it could be good. It's cause sometimes these like fun opportunities kind of have to present themselves. Like there are things that are earlier than you'd expect and you just kind of have to roll with it. But it feels like just based on the information she has, it's like safe. It's a wedding. There's people's grandmas are there. I think if it gets weird or anything like that, it's all things that could be solved the next day.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's pretty low risk.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, you're gonna come away with a month's worth of information in 2 days.
Yeah.
And it's either gonna propel things forward and solidify things, or you're gonna have an answer as to why this isn't it. Absolutely. Just do it.
Cool. No, I think that's a move. Like, especially, yeah, like in your 30s, like, yeah, how old am I? I'm about to turn 32. Yeah, like, I think if you're at that point already, I think it could be, I think it's a good move. Just try something different. If you haven't done that before, like, I don't go with any, like, expectations or anything, but just kind of have this, like, I'm going to do something crazy. I've got nothing else to do this weekend. I'd give it a try.
Yeah, 2 hour car ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he's weird, you know, just jump out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, my next mailbag, rejected for a kiss, but we had already kissed. 33 female, went on two good dates with a male, 31. I've enjoyed getting to know him. He's a little guarded. I am too. I get the impression he doesn't date a lot. His profile says looking for marriage, which seems heavy but genuine, but I like it. Anyway, our second date, we talked for hours and shut down the bar. He hugged me in the parking lot, and then he went in for a kiss. It wasn't like a 2 second kiss either. When we got to my car, he kissed me again. Then he was consistently texting me every day. We planned a cool third date. He moved around a work shift so he could see me this weekend. We then went on said date yesterday for dinner. All was well. At the end, it was raining hard as we walked to our cars. I asked if he wanted to get in my car for a second. He said no. Wasn't sure if he was going to kiss me goodbye or not. But then he said, I guess we could do a quick kiss. But then he didn't kiss me and proceeds to stand at the car and tell me he didn't like to rush the physical, alluding to the kissing, saying it could cloud judgment. He then said it moves slow, and where most people are on date 3, he says he's there on like date 5. And I just think you're further than I am. I said, that's fine. He then said, I feel like if I get into something, that's me committing and that's it for me and that's life. In theory, that's great, but I know from my own dating experiences, it doesn't work like that. I felt a little defensive at this point because I felt like he was implying I was trying to seduce him. He said, I enjoy hanging out with you and spending time with you. I asked if I would see him again, and then he said, yes, how about Wednesday? I told him I'm gone for work for a week, and then we said bye and left. Today, I feel like shit. What happened in the parking lot? Can you help me understand outside of my own framework and experience what he is saying here?
So that was their, that was the rain thing was their second date?
That was the third date. The second date was the steamy kiss.
It sounds like between date 2 and date 3, he spent some time at church.
Yes.
he had a religious awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't tell her.
Yeah.
and then decided to act differently than he had before.
I mean, sorry, one second. I'm so sorry. No, because I think, like, maybe it's because I feel like there's a lot of guys sometimes have the attitude of, like, don't fall in love with me, kid, or, like, oh my gosh, if she seems interested, then I'm gonna have to, like, be this terrible person who tells her no, and oh my gosh, she seems so excited, and, like, if he's sort of, I don't know, on the fence, like, maybe it's his way of, like, warning, you know, oh hey, like, you know, it seems like you're kind of ahead of where I am, like, I'm not there yet. I don't know. But he, like, kind of danced around it because it's an uncomfortable conversation to have. But I don't know. Like,
I mean, if he's 30, like, early 30s, and he's not had a lot of relationship experience, that usually means he has none.
Yes.
So I think sometimes if you haven't had that, you know what you're supposed to. And there's a lot of almost or maybes or could have been. And then when something starts to look real and things are moving forward, he just, the way he did that, strange.
Yes.
But he, sounds like he's pivoting.
Yes.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
No. Yeah, which most people don't. I think, like, dating is full of just awkwardness, and, like, sometimes people bob while you weave, and there's just these weird, like, misconnection-y type interactions all the time. It's super normal. I'm going into the rest of the deck of questions. Ooh. General mail question. In the last 8 months, I've gotten 20 first dates off the dating apps. That's a lot for a dude. But none have led to a second date. I would say I would probably have been down for a second date for about 15 of them. Where do you think I went wrong here? Sometimes they will reject directly, but usually it's like a ghosting or it just fizzles. Someone who gets a lot of first dates but not second.
To me, you either don't look like your pictures, you lied about something on your profile that became clear in person, or you're a weird dude. That's first to second date. Second to third, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not, and you're the guy, so you're the one asking for that second date.
Yeah.
When the ball is in your court and it's still not happening, there is something about you that is unexpected to these women.
Yes.
Whether you're saying you're 5 inches taller than you are, or that you have, or your pictures are 10 years older than they are, or maybe you're a little bit better over text than you are in person.
Mm-hmm.
Something, the expectation of who you are is not meeting the reality in person. That's why things don't progress to the second date.
Yeah.
Most of the time. I mean, obviously there's a, in his case.
Yeah. Because it's like 20 is a lot, like, there's obviously the, you know, not all dates, most dates don't lead to second dates, but it's like 20, I mean, one of those 20, like, that's high, especially because it, you know, 28 months, that seems solid for a guy based on what men say that they are getting on dating apps. But yeah, so it seems odd there, and I would guess, like, that sort of first to second is probably expectations versus reality. Something is amiss. Like, maybe it's this obvious catfish type thing, and you're just not self-aware, and maybe it's something more subtle that feels insignificant to you, but it means a lot to the other person, but there is something.
He needs a good, honest friend to lay it down for him.
Yes.
Something's up.
Yes. From what you've seen and just throughout, like, your entire experience or just heard from friends, what seems to be the thing that, like, doesn't match up with men's dating profiles, versus what you see on the digital baseball card versus meeting them in person? Like, what does it seem like I don't know, maybe the men aren't self-aware about?
I think not asking the woman any questions. Like, I've left dates thinking, like, I didn't really need to be there for that. I mean, I could have been a cardboard cutout.
Yeah.
And I think it's especially weird when that you have that experience and they want to see you again. They had a great time. I don't know what that is, but that's what I'm hearing from my friends.
Mm-hmm.
There's not an equal exchange of questions, interests. Just more like, let me tell you more about me. Yeah. I'm glad that you're here to listen to it.
There's a lot of those. Yeah, no, and like, it would always throw me off too when it would be like, apparently they had so much fun. It was like, oh, I thought this was like a mutual, like, oh, we didn't connect, and like, that's okay. And, you know, we were both polite to each other. And it's like, really? What, like, what about me did you like?
Yeah. Dude, you didn't find out anything about me?
Yeah.
It's incredible that you had a good time.
Yeah. I don't know. They should go and talk to themselves. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's what I hear.
Yeah.
And I have experienced it myself.
Oh, absolutely. I've had way too many of those. I've got a funny one. Guy orders milk on a date. Is that weird or cute or crazy? Just orders a glass of milk.
Oh, that's it.
There's food. Elsewhere, but I would guess there might be food. She said he ordered, his drink was milk.
Surprisingly, the scale of weirdness shifts drastically if there's no food.
If you're going out for cookies,
fine.
That's expected. Yeah.
That's pretty weird. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do that. And that guy, I don't think you should do that.
No.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Yeah. Unless I feel like you need a good explanation, or it's like, it's got the context, or you got to be like, I've got to get my whatever. What's in milk that's good for you? One of the things. Yeah. I got to get my calcium, and milk's the way to do it. It's the thing on the menu.
Yeah. It needs a heavy preface there.
You need a very heavy preface.
And you gotta really want it.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yes.
Otherwise, maybe wait till you get home.
Yes. That's, you know, Santa Claus fucking going on dates and stuff. What's like randomly the weirdest thing you've had happen on a date? Like weird little things, anything that you remember or stood out?
I've had this happen a few times where I go to the bathroom for a normal amount of time,
mm-hmm.
3 minutes, I don't know. Normal. I've lived in long enough. I know. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I come back, and usually it's when I feel like I've been carrying the conversation. I come back and I say in my head, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to sit down. And without fail, when that happens, they ask me, how was the bathroom? And that is so strange. How was the bathroom?
Is he asking if it's clean or like?
I'll usually say, what does that mean? And I'll be like, oh, was everything okay? And I'm like, dude, I don't. Yeah, it was great in there. That's happened to me at least 3 times. I don't know what that is, but don't do that.
Yeah, unless you're at Don's Depot. Those bathrooms are really cool, if you've seen those.
No.
Oh, there's like a there's like a secret room in the women's bathroom.
Okay, very fair question there.
If you're at Don's Depot, it's okay.
There we go.
It's kind of like a, like, what are you
asking?
And
what if I said it wasn't okay in there?
Yeah, like, what do you say?
Now what,
like,
are we going to do?
Call a janitor?
Yeah.
Ask to speak to the manager?
No, I needed your help. What? I don't know. I don't know. I shouldn't just... It's a harmless question, I'm sure, from someone that's nervous. But God, don't ask a woman. Don't ask anyone. No. Actually, don't ask anyone that.
No.
It's very strange.
It is. Have you ever had a date asked to speak to the manager for any reason?
No, have you?
Yeah, it was weird. He was like, it's taken too long since we were asking for the check, and he like insisted on a free app. It was very uncomfortable. It was a huge turnoff because it was like the most care. It was like the most male Karen thing I'd ever seen because
insisted on a free appetizer.
Well, he was just like, well, we need to have something in return. Then the server was kind of like, I don't know what to do. It was probably cheaper than the drinks, but it was very odd. And it
was
felt
he 65?
No, just a prick.
Very strange.
Yeah, it was like when I think of like, oh, like what were my weird little like kind of arbitrary turnoffs? I'm usually like, well, it really just depends. I'm like, that would probably always be a turnoff.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, in your set you discussed tax day. Tomorrow's tax day. Any tips for tax day?
Oh God, I'm the last person. I am the last person to answer anything. I have zero tips.
Yeah, are you done?
I did them.
Okay, I'm still working on mine. I'm like,
no, I have to call. No, you know what's funny? So I did my taxes yesterday.
Yeah,
I found out that I didn't file last year.
Oh, I've done that before.
I was the last step of filing for last year, and it says looks like you didn't file the previous year's taxes. Did you go through another website? So I started my taxes, and I guess I was like, all right, this feels good to me. I didn't do them.
Yeah.
So I have to call the IRS, which will be an entire day.
Oh, God.
That'll be a whole day.
They're the worst. Yeah. I've done that before, and I forget what I even did. Like, I think it was like I didn't owe anything. It was like I had very much just like a standard like employment and stuff like that. But it was still just like, oh shit, I didn't do my taxes. I don't know.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
I told a couple people and they couldn't wrap their head around it. And I was like, well, mm-hmm. I mean, I've gotten that reaction when things I've done before. But that's nice to know that you also, you like thought you were done and you weren't.
It's like relative. I think it's relative. I've met many other people who have done the same thing. Like they're just like, and like unless like usually it's like if you've just had like an average year and you have your taxes taken out of your like regular employer, it's like once you if you like have some sort of like side hustle and stuff where you're getting like it's like oh those are the people that have crazier tax stuff.
Oh no, usually, see, I'm like, just kind of a little bit stupid. That's what's happening with me.
Too.
I don't have anything complicated in the mix. I didn't move. I'm not.
Yeah.
Donating to, I don't have any specifics there, just didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, should be good.
It's exciting, you know, to figure it out.
Yeah. Everyone do your taxes. This episode will come out after tax day, but if you haven't, you should probably do them.
Come see me at Narbar on Fridays, 10 o'clock. Come check out the show I'm on at Shakespeare's with a lot of really good comics on the 27th at 8:30.
Nice. Yeah, and I think I saw the flyer. Like, you're in with a good mix of people.
Yes.
Have you gotten close to any comedians, or do you consider anyone like a friend, mentor, anything like that at this point?
I have a couple good friends, but I gotta earn my stripes a little more, probably.
Yeah. Well, you're killing it.
Thank you.
You're doing an incredible job. It's been an absolute honor to host you today.
Oh, so, gosh.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
To everyone else, over and out. Bye.